The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. Got a shotgun, a rifle.
Hello everyone, this is Bob Main, and you are listening to today's survival show, where my goal is to talk about common sense ideas that we can use to live a more secure life. And I know this is called a survival show, and I just want to let you know this is a voice of reason. This is a practical, common sense show. We don't engage in a lot of conspiracy theories and paranoia type thinking. We talk about everyday uses for common sense ideas and how we can use them to live a more secure life. The power of choice, as I like to call it. So that's what this whole show is all about. And I got a good topic for you that I'm going to get to here in just a minute. But I want to thank you for tuning in. If you are tuning in for the first time, this is, as I mentioned, a calm voice of reason. And I want to thank you. It's an honor if you're tuning in for the first time. Sometimes they say the toughest listener to get, or the toughest sale to make, for example, or the toughest step in any project that you're doing is the first one. And so if you've been referred by somebody, or you're cruising the internet or iTunes or whatever, and you decide to listen to this show, thank you very much. Today's topic is fiscal sclerosis. Fiscal sclerosis, a disease that not only our government has, but also a disease many people have. However, I'm going to mainly talk about our government today. Now, for those of you who have been listening to me for a while, you've heard me say this is not a political show. I don't try to make this all about partisan politics. I'm going to pick on the government today. I'm not going to pick on certain people of the government. I'm going to criticize it as an overall entity. And I think you'll understand when I get done that I'm not trying to spew out any kind of a partisan message from this, okay? I got some comments recently. One was a private email and one was a comment on iTunes saying that I like to spit out a lot of right-wing rhetoric. Well, you know, listen, I'll say that I'm a conservative-minded person, but there's a big difference between someone who's conservative-minded and someone who's a partisan hack, and that I'm not. You know what? I criticize government irresponsibility. And we've been having a lot of that. And it's a problem because it does affect our daily lives, ladies and gentlemen. Government irresponsibility does affect our daily life. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So I promise I'm not going to get real partisan. In fact, that's one of the problems. One of the problems is we got a lot of idiots out there that are just narrow-minded partisan politicians. And anyway, I'll save that for the rest of this show. But fiscal sclerosis, fiscal being money, we have a disease when it comes to handling money. And I'll get into that a little bit more. I do want to make a couple of announcements before jumping into the main topic. Thank you for joining our forum, for those of you who have recently. And if you have not become a member of our forum, you know what happens when like-minded people get together? When they start talking and they start talking about how to live a more secure life, really cool things happen. You start to gain ideas. You start to learn from them. Nobody has all the answers. And consider having an open mind, joining our forum. There's plenty of topics on there, plenty of posts. I'm adding things all the time. We have members adding things all the time. There's four products that we offer at Today's Survival Show. One of them is the main blog at todayssurvival.com. Number two are these audio podcasts, kind of my way of doing a blog in audio format. The third product that we offer is the forum. A lot of good people. And the fourth product on that forum is a chat room. And for those of you that like to chat about how to live a more secure life, come join us. A lot of good information to learn there. But I don't like to make this show real commercial. So that is the end of the announcements. I try to keep that short and sweet. So let's dive into fiscal sclerosis, a huge problem. I was reading the USA Today. By the way, I just got back from California, folks. I was out there for 3 days. The company that I work for is based in San Diego. So I was out there in the Republic of California, spending 3 days at our corporate office. I'm in my car right now, driving home from the Dallas airport, going back to my home in Frisco. So I want to share a little windshield time and talk to you about this problem that we've got going on. I've got, let's see, I'm looking at my notes here and trying to make sure I don't get into an accident. I've got five or six topics that I want to share with you on what's going on. I got this out of the USA Today. I want to share some of the things that have been published in the USA Today for you, and then also add some of my own flavor to it. Every once in a while, my opinion pops out. Forgive me on that, but you can't do a show like this without injecting a few opinions, and I'll back it up with fact whenever I can. So let's get into it. Point number one that I want to talk about is basically the state of what's happening in our country and as it relates to the people. The first point I want to make is it certainly is apparent that people are tired of the backroom deals. They're tired of the behind-the-scenes type of government that's going on. The lack of transparency and the payoffs to politicians. That's pretty much what they're fed up with. And, you know, I'm not just blaming the current administration. You know, again, this is where I'm not going to get partisan. These backroom, smoke-filled room payoffs and deals, this has been going on for decades. All right, this is an epidemic, and this has been going on for a long time. And I think right now, we're feeling the accumulation of the problems that have been caused by all these backroom deals and all these entitlement programs and all this stuff going on. And I think people are waking up going, that's it, I'm fed up with that. So that's pretty much the state. There's no secret about that. And you know, the second point I want to make is I think we're also starting to see some anger from people. We're starting to see some anger from voters. We're starting to see some anger from people who care about this country. And I know I have a lot of international listeners to this show. And, you know, some of this may not apply directly to you, but I'll bet that in your country, you may have some government officials that have been just as reckless as ours have been. And I'm talking about the last 40 or 50 years, folks. I'm not talking about the last 12 months. So don't start calling me an Obama hater. Don't start calling me, you know, a right-wing nutcase. Because as I get done here, I think you're going to find that I'm talking about the last 40 or 50 years. But people are angry, and I think you saw that in the Senate election in Massachusetts not too long ago. That's anger right there. I mean, for somebody to be a conservative candidate and win a seat that was held by Ted Kennedy, one of the opposites of conservatism, and again, I'm not bashing Ted Kennedy. I'm just saying he was one of the opposites of conservatism. I think what you saw there is you saw voter anger. And what you saw there is people that are just absolutely tired of the tone-deaf politics. That they're tired of the Washington officials and even probably their state officials. But since this was an election for a federal seat in Washington, a Senate seat, they were protesting against Washington ignoring the people. And that's exactly what's going on. So, number one, people are tired of the backroom deals. Number two, they're angry. And number three, our country has huge, huge monumental problems. And these big, big problems are not getting dealt with because of monumental incompetence in Washington. And I think what people are angry about is the Washington establishment, as they start all their political posturing and as they continue to throw rocks at each other and call each other wrong, there's big problems that we've got going on. Not just the healthcare problem, but we have huge financial problems. We have huge national security problems, folks. Major national security problems. And these aren't getting fixed. And the reason they're not getting fixed is because it's in the name of party politics. So that's my third point. Okay, and you know, just like with any other disease, if the disease here we have is fiscal sclerosis, if it's irresponsibility, okay, then I think what I want to do is offer a solution. And I love what Cal Thomas said in this article in the USA Today. He said, Republicans and Democrats should make a covenant with the country. And he said that that covenant needs to fit with what the majority cares about. And you know, if you watch the news, folks, there's all kinds of polls about what the majority cares about. Right now, the majority cares about finding a job. Right now, the majority cares about our national debt. They care about the value of the dollar. They care about what kind of debt and what kind of taxes that our future generations are going to have to pay because of the out-of-control spending. And a lot of the polls you see out there show that healthcare is starting to reduce in popularity as in terms of the issues that people care about. People are starting to care less and less about making sure that every single person in America has health insurance. More people just want to get back to work, folks. That's the main thing. We cannot have a healthy economy unless we have jobs. Now, the pinhead politicians in Washington, they have disagreements about how to create jobs. And there's no compromising going on, and there's a bunch of posturing, and that's what's got people pissed off. Pardon my French. And so I love the second part of what Cal Thomas said. He said, if they won't fix the problems, they should promise to resign or not run for re-election. And he said the reason why Scott Brown won in Massachusetts is because he appeared to be a guy that pretty much had conservative convictions, but really what he had was convictions to serve the people. Convictions to be a listener. Convictions to be a doer and listen to what the people want and vote that way and get the people's job done. He seemed to be a guy who meant what he said, and he pledged to go there and do what he promised. And that, folks, is what resonates with voters. So if there's anybody that's listening to this show that happens to be considering running for office, or maybe if you're in office and you want to hold your seat, and I'm not just talking about at the federal level, I'm not just talking about the Senate and the Congress and the President, I'm talking about if you're a mayor, if you're a city council person, if you are a county commissioner, if you are a judge, if you are a state senator, if you are a state representative, it doesn't matter. You need to listen to what the people want, because that's what this is all about. This is, and always will be, a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And so, to wrap up my fourth point, people are pissed off because that's what they feel is starting to go away on them. And my fifth point is people are also frustrated. And I think what's frustrating them is that nothing ever seems to change. You know, we have these little miniature revolutions that go on. You know, the voters start to say, oh, you know, we're going to throw these bums out. And so then they do. All right, you know, we saw that back in the 90s after Bill Clinton took office. And we may see that again this year. We saw that 2 years ago. People were fed up with the Republicans that were in power. So they threw them out. And rightfully so, because a lot of those Republicans were highly irresponsible. Starting with the top Republican, George W. Bush. He was highly irresponsible. I'm going to get to that a little bit later. And that backfired on them. So people threw the bums out. He wasn't up for re-election, but everybody, almost everybody who was in his party that was trying to either get elected or get re-elected lost. And, you know, we have these little miniature revolutions every couple of years, but the problem is then we end up back at square one. We end up back getting angry because our politicians that we send there to change things never change. And I've got a theory as to why that happens. So in the second segment of this show, I'm going to talk about that. And so the sixth point that I want to make on this topic is what Bob Beckel said in this article in the USA Today that I had a chance to read. He said he thinks we should begin a hall of shame for lawmakers that we agree are part of the problem rather than being part of the solution. I love that. We need to create a hall of shame. Don't you love it? You know, and really, I mean, we need to create some kind, we need to put them on notice in some way, shape, or form, a hall of shame to the people who are part of the problem. And he quoted a French philosopher Pascal. And Pascal said, the only shame is to have none. And that's the problem, is we got a lot of politicians, we got a lot of people running this country who affect our daily lives that have no shame. And folks, if that doesn't make you angry, and the fact that your tax money is paying these people to do their jobs, and they're spending your tax money, and they have no shame. If that doesn't make you angry, and if it doesn't make you frustrated, and if it doesn't want to make you revolt a little bit, then there could be something wrong with your thinking. And I'm sorry about that, and I'm sorry if that hits hard. But that's how I see it. Okay? So, what's the solution? Now let's talk about a little bit more positive stuff. The solution. Before you can come up with a solution, I've always learned you have to definitely define exactly what the problem is. And what I mean by fiscal sclerosis is setting up future priorities, future national priorities, and putting them in stone long before the future even arrives. And see, unfortunately, that's what our government does. Our government makes a priority, and they start funding things 10, 15 years in advance. And so our arteries, our fiscal arteries, are getting clogged, and they're getting hardened. And what it does is it prevents this country from being able to fund emergencies, for example. And those of us who are all about preparedness, we're all about making sure that we take care of ourselves in an emergency. And this is one of the reasons why you can't depend on the government. Because the government can't do it because they don't have any money. That's why. And I'm going to define that and get into that here in just a few minutes. And as I mentioned, the problem goes back decades. It goes back a long time. It goes back 40 or 50 years. And what they've done for decades is they've committed government revenues to what some of the policy nerds out there called mandatory programs, right? Some people call them entitlements. Another word for them is mandatory programs. We have to fund these. These are mandatory. We've got to fund these first, because if we don't fund these first, our country is going to collapse and it's going to implode. And that's one of the reasons why we have these huge deficits. And by doing that, it leads to unsustainable deficits. And let me share a fact with you that happened in 2009. This may scare you. But for the first time in United States history, every single dollar of the revenue that came into the government was already committed to go to a program even before Congress voted on any other spending program. So what that means is all the revenue that was coming into the government was already spent. So every time these pinhead politicians voted on another spending program, guess what they were spending? They were spending debt. They were going into debt to pay for it. And this has been going on a long time. So if you want to blame people, think of all the presidents and all the congressmen and all the senators we've had in our federal government for about the last 40 or 50 years. So again, as I stated in early on in the show, I'm not just picking on one party. So don't send me a comment saying that I'm some kind of a hardcore right-winger. Everybody's been doing it. And here's another part of the problem. I'll get into some solutions here in a minute. Remember the old fable about Rip Van Winkle? Our Congress could do the same thing. Our Congress could go to sleep like Rip Van Winkle did. Our Congress could take a 50-year nap. They could sleep for 50 years, not do a single thing, and still the entire budget, and then some, would still be spoken for. You realize that? The entire budget, the entire federal revenues, would still already be committed. That's how far they've committed us into the future. And that's how far they've committed the money, the tax revenues. And even if the economy grows, and even if the tax revenues increase to the federal government because of growth in the economy, the tax revenues still would not rise as fast as the spending that's already been committed for the next 50 years. And that, my friends, is a bit scary. And this is not paranoia. This is reality. You see, sometimes we have to all take a little dose of reality. Sometimes I really believe that, you know, we've got to let the realist come out in us. We can't put our head in the sand. We can't be like an ostrich and stick our head in the sand and assume that there's nothing wrong, or that, oh, it's just all going to fix itself. There's no problem here. It's just all going to work itself out. No, it won't. And folks, President Obama didn't create this predicament all by himself. He was right in his recent State of the Union speech when he said he inherited a mess. George W. Bush helped continue this fiscal sclerosis disease. You know, he wasn't paying for the tax cuts. He wasn't paying for the new huge prescription drug entitlement programs that he got pushed through. He didn't pay for those. And so, by the time that Obama took office, what we had already done over the years is we'd basically taken democracy and the right to have lawmakers represent our interests in Washington. We basically just took that right and we threw it out the window. And so our newly elected officials, basically, they can't go in there and do what they want because they're already committed because of all the commitments made in the past and the commitments that we're making, the spending commitments that we're making right now for the future. And what happened if you ran your life that way? Think about that. What if you ran a business? Here's what I want you to think about. Here's an example. What if you ran a business and you signed 50 years worth of contracts? Right, with a whole bunch of vendors to buy their products for 50 years. Okay, you have no clue what's going to happen to your business, but you sign the contracts anyway, and you agree to spend a certain amount every quarter for 50 years. What would happen to your business? What do you think would happen? That's exactly what's happening in our federal government right now. Because we don't run our government like a business, that's why we have problems. Because any businessman or woman that has any bit of common sense would not sign a 50-year contract on something. You can't foresee into the future enough to be able to make those commitments and make them work out. So the solution, unless we address the basic disease that we have called spending, we're going to continue to fight the same battle over and over again. And folks, eventually, it's going to catch up with us so bad that not only are we going to plunge deeper and deeper into debt, the deficits will balloon, but if we're not already bankrupt, it'll be one of the worst bankruptcies. Probably the worst, actually, that this country has ever seen. And then when something like that happens, that's when mayhem starts to take place. And again, I'm not getting into paranoia. This is reality. This is what happens when so much irresponsibility goes unchecked. This is what happens when we start to get cut short on the funding that we have to fund emergencies and to fund necessary, to fund the basic necessities that we have as a country to be able to run this country officially. So this is why people have to start taking responsibility. So the solution, if you think that by going to the polls in November and voting these bums out and changing them, if you think that's going to be a permanent fix, I'm sorry, you're mistaken. Think again. That's not going to be a permanent fix. It may stop the bleeding a little bit, but it's not going to be a permanent fix. A couple of ideas I have on what a permanent fix to this would be. First of all, what we need to do is we must get more active. We must be consistent with our throw the bums out strategy. If that's, you know, if you're going to be a Tea Party movement kind of person, you've got to get consistent with that. And you got to get more consistent about holding your elected officials to what you believe in. And so that's one of the reasons why I created the Survival Activist Club. But I think the bigger solution is people taking individual responsibility for themselves. Not relying on this screwed up government to take care of you. And by taking that power away from the government, by not allowing these pinheads to have so much control over you, every little step that you can make to put the control of your life back in your own hands, that's the ultimate solution, in my opinion. And the way you can do those, the way you can do that is by paying off your debt, becoming more financially free. You've heard me talk a lot about that, but it's, folks, it's so liberating. It's just, it's, I can't even describe on this podcast the good feeling that you get from being financially liberated like that, to where you're not mired in so much debt that it's paralyzed you. You can also grow a garden, and you can start creating some of your own food. That's an excellent way to get yourself off of the dependency of the system of providing food for yourself. And there's all kinds of people on our forum that are good at gardening. There's all kinds of other websites out there that you can go to, and you can get tips on gardening, on how to start an indoor garden, on how to start a container garden. Hydroponics. We've got a member of our forum who's very good with hydroponics. There's all kinds of things you could do to start producing food for yourself. If you have the ability to raise animals, if you have the ability to raise chickens that can give you eggs, if you have the ability to raise animals that you can use for meat, that you could raise for meat, like I did when I was a kid growing up on a hobby farm. And it's my goal to be able to get back to that style of living as soon as I possibly can. That's liberating yourself from this messed up government. The more emergency supplies that you have put away so that you can take care of yourself, because the government will be out of money and won't be able to respond to the emergency. That's another part of the solution. By training your mind and establishing the right mindset and understanding that there's no reason to panic in a crisis, because if you've prepared in advance, you don't have to panic. By setting your mind and setting your goals to be one of those types of people that are going to be part of the solution, that's what needs to be done. In one of my earlier shows, you heard me talk about the 10-80-10 rule. Whenever there's a disaster, the 10-80-10 rule comes into play. And the way that works is basically you've got 10% of the people that have no clue what happened. They're freaked out, right? They're what I call the people that don't know what happened. Okay, we have three types of people. We have those who make it happen, those who watch it happen, and those that don't know what happened. And those are the 10%. They're freaked out. You got another 80% that do absolutely nothing. They know that there's a problem. They know that something just occurred, but they don't do anything. They're paralyzed. And for whatever reason, it's a phenomenon, and it's a phenomenon I don't really have the answer for, but it is true as to why this happened. 80% of the people freeze. And then the final 10% are the ones that spring into action. They're usually the ones that have a cooler head. They're usually the ones that prepared their mind in advance. They're usually the ones that went to training seminars to learn how to administer first aid and to learn how to use various tools. They're the ones that put away food. They're the ones that have the proper ability to defend their property. They're the ones that spring into action. And in my opinion, they are part of the solution. And they're the people that right now are taking steps. So if you have not taken any steps to get yourself prepared, and you know, this is not, we're not a bunch of doomsdayers. I'm not saying that you need to start thinking that the world's going to come to an end tomorrow. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about doing little by little preparations. And if you don't know what to do, if you don't know where to start, get on our forum and start reading some of the posts that you see on there, because there's a lot of good common sense ideas on how to get started. Even there's even things that you can buy for $5 at a time. You can invest $10 a week to start preparing yourself so that you can dump the government out of your life. That's pretty much what I'm talking about here. Kicking the government to the curb. Telling them, look, I don't need you. I don't need you people to run my life. No more. And also, what you're doing is you're telling the government that you're not going to have as much influence on me anymore. You see, that's one of the reasons why they commit to all these programs so many years in advance, and they commit to spending these trillions and trillions of dollars. Do you understand why they do that? It's not so much that they want to help people. It's that they want to overcommit the budget so that they can run your life, so that they can tax you more, so that they can impose more regulations, so they can have more control over you, and so that they can help plunge you into a system of dependency to where you need them. And then that way they feel like you're going to vote for them and keep them in office, because you have to have what they provide. And what I'm advocating on this podcast, as I wrap this up, is that the solution is when people rise up and say, you know what, I'm not going to allow Big Brother to have that control and that influence over how my life turns out. That's when this disease of fiscal sclerosis, that's when this disease of the hardening of the arteries of our government, that's when this disease of the politicians not listening to us, when it's gonna quit. When we yank that power away from them and we get their attention. And what we can do is we can take our responsibility for our own lives, and at the same time we can go vote the bums out. And if we do both of those things together, I humbly believe that is the only solution out there to this mess that we're in. And so with that, I'm going to go ahead and conclude this show. Thank you for listening. Episode number 63, I believe this is, of today's Survival Show, where my goal is to help you tap in to the common sense power of choice that you have over your own life, to live a more secure life and strengthen your resolve. See, this is what I mean when I say that too. When I talk about strengthening your resolve, this is what I'm talking about. And as Teddy Roosevelt once said, do what you can with what you have wherever you are. I'm Bob Main. This is today's Survival Show. Thanks for tuning in. I'll catch you again next time. Bye.
Four-wheel drive and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn.